This is The Guardian.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Looking for your next great podcast? We live in unprecedented times. To make sense of it, what if you could learn from some of the most influential people on the planet? The podcast Tools and Weapons is hosted by Microsoft's Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Every week, he has a candid conversation with guests, including prime ministers and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists. The latest episode features Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though most of us know Bayer for pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science. They're putting digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre. Listen to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith, wherever you get your podcasts.
I like things like yoga because I can go to a class despite not having been for, you know, months, and I'm a lot more bendy than the people in there who obviously go every week.
Guardian Science correspondent Linda Geddes is hypermobile.
As a child, I was quite into things like gymnastics and dance. I wasn't necessarily very good at them because I'm also not entirely well coordinated. I like those kind of party games as well, like the cereal box game or limbo, where you have to bend down and pick things off the floor with your teeth.
And while it means she could perform tricks in the playground and now at parties, there is another side to being bendy.
I quite often stub my toe on the bed, which I know where the bed is. I walk past the bed every day, yet I will stub my toe on it because my sense of where things are in relation to my body is a bit off.
In fact, hypermobility syndrome, where your joints cause you pain, has been associated with a range of other health issues, including fatigue and bowel problems, and even anxiety. And now a new study has found hypermobile people are more likely to suffer with long COVID.
Hypermobile people appear to be 30% more likely to experience lingering COVID symptoms, and especially fatigue.
So why? Why does being especially flexible have a cost? From The Guardian, I'm Madeline Finlay, and this is Science Weekly. Linda, as a hypermobile person yourself, perhaps you can explain to me exactly what that is.
Hypermobility is basically having excessive flexibility in your joints. It's where two bones meet, but they're kind of surrounded by connective tissue. And generally that connective tissue seems to be a bit looser or laxer in people with hypermobility, which means they have a greater range of bend and motion in joints. There's a kind of a test called the Beighton score that can be done to assess on a very general basis whether you might be hypermobile. And it involves like bending your pinky finger backwards. And if you can bend it 90 degrees or more, you get a point for that. If you can bend your thumb down to your wrist, you get a point for that. I think in non-hypermobile people, when you hold your arm out straight, it's straight. Whereas if I hold my arm out as I am now, it kind of bends backwards. Same if you look at your legs, if you stand with your legs as straight or as flexed as they can be, you might notice that the knee bends back behind your calf and your thigh. And then also the last one is just bending forwards at the hips. Can you touch the floor with both hands easily? Which I can. You don't have to score on all of those things to be considered hypermobile, but you know, if you have a few of those things, there's a good chance you are.
I was doing them, Linda, as you were describing them, and I am officially not hypermobile, although that comes as no surprise to me whatsoever. But I wondered, Obviously, there are people who are generally hypermobile, but is it possible to have one joint that's especially flexible, or does it have to be all over the body?
Yeah, some people do just have one joint or one or two joints that are very flexible, but there's this thing called kind of generalized hypermobility syndrome where you have lots of bendy joints. And that kind of suggests that maybe you might have these underlying differences in your connective tissues. These are tissues that kind of provide support and structure and scaffolding for all sorts of things in your body, like your organs, your muscles and your bones and your fat tissue. It's heritable as well. I mean, I remember as a kid kind of sitting around at Christmas and my great auntie was kind of bending her fingers back and kind of going, can anyone do this? And I was like, yeah, I can do this. And also my kids are very flexible. Like my son is extremely flexible. I remember like as a toddler, he used to do, you know, side splits all the time. He'd just kind of go into them and I'd be like, whoa.
It's interesting that there's this genetic aspect to it. It makes me wonder how common this is and whether it's overrepresented in particular groups.
Yeah, it is. Women tend to be more hypermobile than men. And then you've got ethnic groups. So people with Black, African or Caribbean or Asian heritage tend to be bendier on average. There are advantages to being hypermobile. So a lot of athletes are bendier and have hypermobility. Obvious ones are things like gymnasts and ballerinas, but also swimmers. So Michael Phelps, the multi-Olympic medal winning swimmer, is thought to have hypermobile shoulders, possibly knees and feet. And basically that enables him to push more water with every movement. And also musicians. So if you think about, you know, guitarists, violinists, I play the guitar and I took to playing the guitar quite easily. And that might have something to do with having quite stretchy fingers. But also I'm a singer and there is a relationship between singing and hypermobility. So something to do with their vocal cords being stretchier and they can achieve a greater range. So they're able to sing lower and higher notes with the same vocal cords.
So there are obviously these really significant benefits of being hypermobile, being able to sing in greater ranges and do all these kinds of sports and excel at them in a way that other people might not be able to. But recently, you've also written about some of the health impacts of being hypermobile. And the obvious thing that comes to my mind is physical issues like joint pain. Is that actually a problem for hypermobile people?
There was a study that was published a few years ago, which looked at a big group of British teenagers and found that, you know, the ones who were hypermobile in young adolescence, by the time they were, you know, reaching sort of 18, 19, a greater proportion of them were experiencing pain, particularly joint pain. Yes, you're more likely to be able to dislocate your joints. It's thought to be a spectrum. So, you know, you have people who are not bendy at all. Then you have people who are hypermobile and don't have any physical issues. And then at the far end of the spectrum, you have people with things like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a group of connective tissue disorders. And they can have lots of physical problems, ranging from things like joint dislocations, disc prolapses in their spine, to problems with their eyes, their guts, their nervous systems, their heart. Because so many body systems and organs rely on connective tissue or have some kind of connective tissue component, actually having differences in that connective tissue can cause a whole range of physical problems.
And I also found it really interesting that people with hypermobility syndrome or connective tissue disorders are more prone to fatigue. And that one theory behind that is that it's actually just quite a lot of effort to keep your joints stable when they're more bendy. And also, on top of that, and I would say maybe this is even more mysterious, is the fact that these conditions have been associated with mood disorders like anxiety and depression, right?
They have. Hypermobility seems to be overrepresented in people with panic disorders and anxiety disorders. Also, neurodiversity, so people with autism and ADHD, quite a lot of them are hypermobile. I think researchers don't fully understand why this is at this stage, but again, there are some theories. So One is that your autonomic nervous system, that's the branch of the nervous system that controls subconscious or involuntary processes like breathing or heart rate, is a bit dysregulated. So for instance, I'll give you an example. There's this thing called postural tachycardia syndrome, which is where people go from lying down or sitting down to standing up. When they do that, their heart suddenly starts, you know, they get palpitations, they feel very dizzy, tired, disoriented. And what they think's happening there, and you're like, well, what's that got to do with connective tissue, right? But if you have loose or lax connective tissue in your veins and arteries, that might cause the blood to pool in your legs and feet, say. And then when you stand up, because the heart then has to divert a load of blood up this vertical body to your brain, that puts quite a lot of pressure on the heart because it's having to work harder because your veins are quite wide and relaxed and like floppy. It's almost like the heart and the nervous system kind of goes into this panic mode. So you get these symptoms which are related to the autonomic nervous system.
Linda, some of the things that we've been talking about, like fatigue or the induced postural orthostatic tachycardia POTS that you've just been talking about, tie into a study looking at hypermobility and long COVID. And you've spoken to one of the lead researchers. What made them want to look at this link in the first place?
This is a group of researchers led by Jessica Eccles at Brighton and Sussex Medical School. Before the pandemic hit, she was doing research on the link between hypermobility and chronic fatigue syndrome, or ME, and also fibromyalgia, which is this mysterious condition where people experience chronic pain all over their bodies, but also fatigue. And she found that hypermobile people were significantly more likely to have these conditions. And they didn't really understand why, but they were kind of looking at it. And then COVID hit and people started experiencing long COVID. So they thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder if people with long COVID are more likely to be hypermobile, or people with hypermobility are more likely to get long COVID. So they teamed up with researchers at King's College London, and they used data from thousands of people, and they found that indeed hypermobile people appear to be 30% more likely to experience lingering COVID symptoms, and especially fatigue. It doesn't mean that everybody with hypermobility will get long COVID, but because long COVID is probably this umbrella of different groups of people, there could well be a subgroup of people with long COVID where it's related to their hypermobility, possibly.
I think that's so interesting. I mean, do the researchers have any theories as to what could be going on?
Well, yeah, so this goes back to this idea of autonomic nervous system dysfunction again, that the kind of control system for things like breathing and heart rate might be a bit off. And possibly that is somehow contributing to fatigue and brain fog. So if we're thinking about the postural tachycardia syndrome POTS thing again, if your body's having to work harder to get blood up to your brain, maybe there's not enough blood getting into your brain, and that might be causing some of the fatigue, which is an area of investigation. But, you know, as I said, hypermobility can affect so many body systems, and things like blood vessels have definitely been tied to long COVID. I think the important thing here is that all that's been established is that there may be a link between hypermobility and long COVID, but it does open up a new frontier of research into, you know, some of these subtypes of long COVID.
Linda, as we've spoken about, there are some health concerns for bendy people like yourself. But look, I am so jealous of people who can do the splits. The idea that my hands could reach across an octave on a piano just sounds fantastic. So there are obviously these really good benefits as well. But if there are people out there who are struggling with joint issues, what advice would you give them, having looked into hypermobility?
Well, I can't do the splits, but I might start trying to learn. There are plenty of hypermobile people who are completely healthy. And if it's not causing you any pain or physical problems, just enjoy being flexible, enjoy the benefits it brings, and don't worry about it. If you notice a pattern of joint injuries, it might be worth talking to a doctor or physiotherapist and raising the fact that you're hypermobile with them. Because one way of dealing with pain that's associated with hypermobility is actually just trying to strengthen the muscles around the joints. You know, you can't strengthen your connective tissue. There's no exercises for that. But your joints are also supported by the muscles around them. So things like Tai Chi or Pilates. I mean, I'm really prone to rolling my ankles, actually. And I am trying to do more controlled, you know, standing on one foot and just trying to strengthen those little muscles that give support to my ankle joint. So if you are getting lots of injuries, if you are experiencing lots of other things like digestive issues, it might be worth raising with a doctor.
And on the flip side of that, me and my fellow stiff people probably need to be doing a lot more stretching. There is that as well.
Well, yeah. But also if you're in yoga and you see someone next to you, like finding it really easy to touch their toes, don't beat yourself up about it because they might have just been born that way. It's not that they're better.
Well, that will make me feel better. So, Linda, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
A big thanks to Linda Geddes. You can read all of her reporting at theguardian.com. And that's it for today. This episode was produced by me, Madeline Finlay. It was sound designed by Joel Cox. And the executive producer is Ellie Bury. We'll be back on Thursday. See you then.
This is The Guardian.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at oseamalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.